The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Now, I know we got a lot of preachers in here tonight. I don't know if you've ever run into this, but especially when you're preaching in somebody's stead, the wheels begin to turn. You say, Lord, I have not the foggiest. I mean, you got 100,000 sermons, but Lord, I don't have a clue what you want me to preach. Well, that just solidified in my heart what I'm going to preach tonight. And so I appreciate that, Lord, and thank you, Brother Ben, for that. Let's look at those verses once again, if we could, just for emphasis' sake. Genesis chapter 18, verse 11 through 14. It says, Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Two times in Scripture you'll find this phrase, Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Once was in our text, which deals with Sarah's response to the angel's declaration that she would have a child in her old age. And the question is posed, Is there anything too hard for the Lord? The second time you will find this phrase is in Jeremiah chapter number 32 and verse number 7, where it reads, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? In chapter 32 of Jeremiah, we find that it is recorded how that the children of Israel had finally claimed the promises of God and entered into the promised land. But once they got there, they quit obeying God. They turned their backs on what they knew to be right, so much so that God brings in the Chaldeans to overtake them and wreak havoc in their life. The prophet Jeremiah sees the plight that God's people are in and must have been thinking this is a hard case. However, later in the chapter, in verses 36 through 44, we find that God begins to work in their lives and begins to turn things around and reestablishes a close relationship with them. And much in those verses is talked of the goodness of God in those verses. And we'll revisit those verses in particular at the end of the message. So two different scenarios here in dealing with things that were hard. Sarah and the promise of a child, which is a good thing. That's a good thing. Though it was a hard situation, but is there anything too hard for the Lord? And I can say with a resounding no, there is nothing too hard for the Lord. God is not limited. He was not limited by Sarah's age, and He's not limited by your faults or your failures. God can do the impossible in your life if you'll simply yield to Him. And so we find that the question is posed, is there anything too hard for the Lord in dealing with something that you want from God? Then the second scenario is God's people got away from the Lord. That's a bad thing. Can God turn around a bad situation? And we'll find that yes, He can. So we could think of it this way. Is there anything too hard for the Lord when you're praying for and anticipating and expecting good things from Him? Can God do what it is that you are asking Him to do? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything too hard for the Lord when you have gotten so far away from the Lord that it seems that nothing is going right and it seems God's judgment is falling in your life? Can God turn your life around? Can God bring you from your backslidden state to where you should be? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? So whether you're looking for God to do great things in your life and to do good things and want to see things come to pass in your life, or you're seeking Him to remove or change some bad things in your life, we must ask ourselves the question, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Perhaps you find yourself, and may I say number one, having a hard time in a relationship. Having a hard time in a relationship. Such was the case when Sarah was hard on Hagar in Genesis chapter 16 and verse number 6. So she was having a hard time in dealing with this other lady. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Can God Take a relationship where you have hard feelings or bitterness or holding a grudge in someone else. Can God intervene in that situation and patch up a relationship? Is there anything too hard for God? Can I say with a resounding answer, no, there's nothing too hard for God. And yes, God can heal that broken relationship. Such was the case when the Egyptians were hard on the Israelites. It's so much that they took their straw away, but did not diminish the amount of bricks they were to make. In Exodus chapter 1 and verse number 14, that would might be likened to a boss. Some of you, I'm sure, have a cantankerous boss. And boy, they want you to do more than's required, but they don't want to give you anything extra for it. And they want you to go above and beyond, but they don't even have the decency to pat you on the back and say a job well done. Can I tell you that God can take a hard situation on the job site? Maybe you have a lost boss that would cuss and carry on and make it extra hard on you because, by the way, you're the only believer on the work crew. And perhaps, listen, can we ask that question? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Can God intervene in a cantankerous boss situation? Intervene and change. Listen, the Bible says the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord and he turneth it whithersoever he will. We've got a God in heaven that can reach down into somebody's heart, a cantankerous boss, and can change that boss. Amen. Such was the case between Ahab and Nabal. When the king asked for Nabal's vineyard, and Nabal told him it was not for sale in 1 Kings chapter 21, verse number 1. So they were having a hard time with a neighbor. I don't know if you have a hard time with your neighbor. You know, they have a fellowship or a party, and they park all their cars in front of your house. To the point that they park all sorts of crooked. You can't even back out of your driveway to come to church. Or their dog visits your flower bed. And that's all I'm going to say. Can I tell you, sometimes you may have a hard time with a neighbor. But can I ask you a question? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Can God intervene into a bad situation between you and a neighbor and intervene and change that thing? I tell you how. Listen, away to a man's stomach or away to a man's heart is through his stomach. Bake that old sourpuss fellow of a neighbor and bake him some cookies. He'll put a smile on his face. Such was the case with those who boast of the wicked things that they do and give those who try to do right a hard time in Psalms chapter 94 and verse number 4. This would be likened unto co-workers or fellow students. Perhaps there's a student here. Listen, not just in the public school, although that would be the case, but even in the Christian school, somebody might, be giving you a hard time because you're trying to take a stand for the Lord. They might give you a hard time in the public school because you dress right and they think you look a little bit funny and look a little bit weird. And can I tell you, is there anything too hard for the Lord? No, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. God can reach in there. And by the way, when they hit bottom and they have a tough time, guess who they're going to come looking for? They're going to come looking for that one that looks so funny. They're going to come looking for that one that believes in a God that can do something. They're going to come looking for a one that prays over their meal. Why? Because they'll see that you're the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And can I tell you, even in a situation where you've got coworkers that brag about the bad things that they do on the weekend and think you're strange because you don't go do those things, and fellow students that aren't living for the Lord and would put pressure on you to dip your standards and give up your purity and give up your standards and give up your convictions. Can I tell you, that's a hard situation to find yourself in, but we must ask ourselves, is there anything too hard for the Lord? God can use you to make a difference. Such is the case with the brother who's been offended and can't seem to get over it, as recorded in Proverbs 18:19, where it says this: a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. You ever been out sowing and knock on a door, and they answer the door, and boy, they're cordial until you bring up church. You know, they'll talk about fishing, hunting, and vacation and all that, but as soon as you bring up church, their smile turns upside down. And they begin to frown, and they don't want to talk about it. And after all, they got hurt way back in the day, and they're not ever stepping foot in another church. Can I tell you, not every church is bad. By the way, not every preacher is bad. Not every church member is bad. Can I tell you, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Can God reach down inside of that brother's heart who's been offended and help him to get over it and heal those wounds that nobody can see and heal that discouragement that nobody knows about? Yes, he can do that. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. Hey, such is the case with someone who won't listen to and put into practice what the preacher has told them will work in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse number 7. Now, that's the relationship between a church member to a preacher. Amen. We ought to strive to have our relationship with our preacher right. Amen. Amen. Listen, I've only been in a few churches in my lifetime, but can I tell you, there's always a few in there that want to, you know, they don't want to get in line. They don't want to get their ducks in a row, and they want to kind of be cantankerous. Can I tell you, let that not be you. Amen. Listen, get on board. Listen, the busier you get inside the church, the less you'll complain about. Amen. It's easy to sit on the bench and look at all that the players are out on the field making mistakes, but guess what? You wouldn't even be able to see the ball, much less catch it. Amen. Listen, don't be one that's on the bench. Listen, you get involved, and you be the type of church member that says, hey, if this is what preach wants, hey, let me get involved. Let me volunteer. Let me hold up the hands of the man of God. Let me support him. Can I tell you, you may have a hard time in your relationship with the preacher, but you could get right. Such is the case with someone who is so full of pride in their position of leadership, not recognizing that God has the ability to serve up humble pie, as was in the case with King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter number 5. The Bible says he went out and lived as an animal and lost his mind for a period of time. What? That was a problem with himself. He was having a hard time with himself. Can I tell you, I think that listen, let's just close the service down and get down here and beg God to forgive us for being so prideful and thinking too highly of ourselves. Listen, we ain't nothing but dirt. Let me just encourage us tonight. Listen, but God can take dirt, and guess what? He can make it a vessel fit for the master's use if you'll yield your vessel to the Lord. Amen. So whether you may be having a hard time in your relationship, and it may just be a matter that you have a hard time getting along with yourself. Such was the case where one man in Luke chapter 9 and verse 39 was having trouble with his child, which was demon-possessed, and he'd taken his son to the disciples, but they couldn't cast him out, and their only hope was Jesus. That's the parent-child relationship. Maybe you're having a hard time dealing with a wayward child. Listen, I'm talking to you grandparents. You grandparent age, you're having a hard time dealing with a wayward child, and they're an adult. Listen, can I remind you, train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he'll not depart from it. But may I tell us young parents, well, listen, you young parents with young children, me old parent with young children, you know, amen. You know, we take Samuel somewhere and they said, oh, is this your grandchild? No. We just got started late, amen. And amen. Pray for us to have a couple more real quick. Twins, triplets, quadruplets, you know, our time is closing, amen. But can I tell you, this man, he had a son. He said, it's my only child. He's demon possessed. And I took him to the disciples. They couldn't do nothing about it. Jesus, help! Can I tell you, in a situation where you have a parent-child relationship that's gone south and you're not getting along and you can't even be in the same room with and speak civil to one another and you're always popping off with anger and temper and flaring up and listen, God, make that home a little heaven on earth, amen. Can I tell you, you ask the question, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Can God intervene in my child rearing? And can God take that wayward child and turn them back to the Lord? Can I tell you, there's nothing too hard for the Lord? And can I say with a resounding yes, God can change a child when you can't? Such is the case where you find yourself surrounded by unbelievers who practice ungodliness, as recorded in Jude verses 15, and I read, to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against. You say, what in the world is that verse talking about? It's talking about a whole bunch of ungodliness. Amen. If you didn't get nothing, just key in on that word ungodly. And maybe that's how you feel. Amen. You're the only Christian on your job. You're the only Christian in your family, perhaps. Maybe you're the first to get saved, and you're trying to witness, and you're trying to make a difference. And we look and say, listen, I've tried to take a stand for God, but the ones out there in the world, it's a hard time to live and try to take a stand for Christ and try to live right and do right in a perverse world. And it's impossible to raise your kids in a perverse world and for them to walk down an aisle and walk up on an altar and take their vows and let that be their first kiss. You say, is that possible? Or is that old-fashioned? Yeah, it's about as old-fashioned as our King James Bible. And can I tell you, is there anything too hard for the Lord? No, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. It's still possible to live clean, pure, holy, and virgin in a perverse world. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? No, there's not anything too hard for the Lord. So maybe you're having a hard time in your relationships. And you might ask yourself, I think there's no hope in my situation. It's a foregone conclusion. Let's just throw in the towel and throw up our hands and give up. No, as long as the Lord is in the midst, it's not too late for God to intervene. And you keep praying about it. Amen. Number two, maybe you're having a hard time believing the promises of God and trusting Him rather than trusting yourself or trusting tradition. Such was the case when Sarah laughed in her tent when she heard that she would have a child in her old age in Genesis 18:14. She had gotten ahead of God and gave Hagar to her husband to bear children by her because she got impatient waiting for God to do what He had promised to do. And maybe you know what the promises of God, but since God hadn't come through in your situation, you're getting ants in your pants and you want to get moving ahead of God. Don't ever get moving ahead of God. You might look at your situation and maybe there's some decisions you've made. I imagine Sarah probably second-guessed her decision. Listen, we got all the trouble in the Middle East all because of one that said, well, my decision is just a small decision. There's no small decision. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy path. It doesn't say in all just the important ones. It said in all thy ways. The Bible says He'll give you direction. The Bible says, thy word is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. See, the thing about it is, starting out, you may just have a little bit of light. Listen, you go in your house and you turn on a lamp. You might still stub your toe out in the bedroom back there. Why? Because there's no light back there. You're only going to be able to see maybe in the living room. And so what God does, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. He gives you just a little bit of light to take one step. Order my steps according to thy word. And so you take one step. And the more, listen, and as you go, the Bible says, then that light is a light. It's a light unto my path. So you take one step, and then the more steps you take, the more light God gives you. And then guess what? You'll end up on the other side, and you say, boy, look at what God did. Look at where He brought me to. But only if you stay under the lamp of God's word will He be able to do that. Amen. So you might look at the promises of God like Sarah and say, well, I know what He said. He said He's going to give me a child in my old age, but He ain't done it yet, and He's taking just a tad bit longer than what I appreciate. And so I'm going to try and help Him out. Don't ever try to help God out. He don't need your help. Amen. And the more, listen, and you got a problem in your life and you're doing your best to fix it. And guess what? The more you try to fix it, the worse off it gets. Amen. Listen, I wouldn't dare open the hood on my car and start tinkering around in there. Next thing I know, it wouldn't start. Amen. No, I'm going to call Brother Castillo. That's who I'm going to call and say, hey, you come stick your head under my hood. Because guess what? At least if he starts tinkering, at least it'll still run. Amen. Guess what? God's given us a preacher, and He's an expert in His field, and there may be some problems in your life that you may not. Listen, quit sticking your head underneath the hood. Get out of God's business. Let the man of God put his head under your hood. Let him fix the problems in your life. Guess what? The problems you think you can fix. Listen, the more you work on it, the worse off it's going to get. You know, you see these t-shirts, you know, when all else fails, God. Or, you know, when all else fails, try God. Well, why you got to wait till everything fails to cry out to Him? You know, Peter's out there walking on the water, and the Bible says, listen, we criticize Peter, but he's the only one that got out of the boat. I ain't seen nobody else that walked on water. Amen. He had enough faith in God to get out of the boat and start walking towards Jesus. But he's like a lot of us. He gets his eyes and his focus off of Jesus, and he's out there walking, and he starts focusing on the waves. Don't give him a bad rap. You'd have been looking at the waves too. Amen. Amen. He didn't have a surfboard out there. Amen. He wasn't riding the waves. Amen. He was walking on the water. He didn't have no life vest. Amen. And so the Bible says that he went down. The Bible says he got his eyes on the waves. And then the Bible says he began to sink. And then it says, and immediately he cried out to the Lord, Lord, save me. Now, why is it that we'll wait till we're blubbering for the third time before we cry out? I mean, you know, you're already taking in a gallon of water, you know, and you think it's going to get better. It ain't going to get any better. You ought to be like Peter and just cry out immediately to the Lord. Amen. Maybe you're having this hard time believing the promises of God and what God's word is. Says, well, I know that it says that I ought to tithe, you know, but after all, I got this need in my life and I got to take care of it. Guess what? You take care of that need and God will give you a whole bunch of other needs to take care of. Listen, you just better stick to the promises of God and say, this is what God said. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but I'm going to have faith in the Word of God that it's going to turn out all right. Amen. There was another situation where Elisha asked of Elijah a double portion of his spirit, since he knew that Elijah would soon pass off the scene in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse number 10. And so you have one in the bunch of all those prophets. One believed that God could use him the way God used his man of God, while the other prophet stood and watched on the other side of Jordan. Amen. Now, they could have got in on that. Now, I don't know what they'd have done. Got scissors out, you know, and cut the mantle. I don't know what they'd have done. But they could have got in on that school of the prophets. They could have got in on a close relationship with Elijah. But no, they stood back and watched. Can I tell you, listen, we need some men of God in our Bible college and some ladies of God in our Bible college to rise up and say, listen, I'm going to be that one that gets close to Pastor Mike Wells. I'm going to be that one that believes God can use. Listen, it's the same. Listen, God is not a respecter of persons. Amen. Listen, he's the same God of our pastor. He's your God. Amen. Amen. Same God of Dr. Jack Howes. He's your God. Amen. About time we start believing it and start doing something about it. Amen. Such was the case with the rich man who is used to trusting in himself rather than God, as recorded in Matthew 19, verse number 23. Can I tell you, he didn't trust in the promises of God. He was so used to having all his needs filled by his own pocketbook that he didn't put his eyes on God. Now, listen, I thank God that God has blessed people and businessmen in our church and given them money. And thank God that you take that money and you invest in eternity, invest in the church, and so that buses can keep rolling and so the properties can be brought up to par. But can I tell you, most rich men aren't that way. Listen, the Bible says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. It doesn't say that a rich man can't be saved. It just means the rich man doesn't see his need for Jesus because he's got all his needs. He's got it all together, got all his needs taken care of. Listen, can I tell you, we need some folks. And maybe, you know, maybe the rich man would have a hard time trusting God in certain matters. Such was the case with the disciples who had just witnessed the miracle of the loaves as God fed 5,000, and yet they were shocked when the wind ceased when Jesus entered the ship in the midst of their storm, as recorded in Mark 6:52. And they began to question him, and they said, oh, it's because we don't have any bread. It didn't have anything to do with them not having bread. God, listen, God could have provided the bread. Amen. Amen. But they had forgotten so quickly the miracle of God when they face a storm. And maybe you're having a storm right now and you're having a hard time believing in the promises of God, though you've seen him come through in your own life. How soon we forget. Such was the case with the disciples who, just before they received the great commission from Jesus himself, were upbraided, the Bible says, for their unbelief in the reports of many who said Jesus had risen in Mark 16:14. You know, it's amazing that Jesus spent much time telling them that he was going to go to the cross, be crucified, and he was going to be placed in a tomb, and 3 days later he was going to be resurrected, and yet, after it happened, they all went back to fishing. Yep. Yeah. You know, it's like they weren't listening in church. Right. You know, it's like they were daydreaming. Amen. I mean, he preached a whole sermon on it. In fact, he preached a whole heap of sermons on it, and they didn't get it. And so as soon as he died, then they got, woe is me. And Peter said, I go a fish. And said, we also go. What's the sense of, you know, I mean, our, you know, who we thought was the Messiah, you know, he done died on us. And so all hope is lost. You remember those folks that were on the road to Emmaus, you know, and Jesus was in his glorified body, and they didn't recognize him, and he began to expound to them the scriptures. And then as soon as they figured out who he was, and he disappeared. And this, the Bible says, how did our hearts burn within us? Can I tell you, our hearts ought to burn in us to believe the promises of God and believe that no matter what a hard time that we're having, that we can believe the promises of God and we can trust God and not trust ourselves and not trust tradition. Well, this is the way we've always done it. Well, maybe God has a better way of you doing it. And guess what? The outcome will be a whole lot better. So maybe you're here tonight and you'll find yourself having a hard time in a relationship, or perhaps you have a hard time sometimes believing the promises of God, and when hard times come, you begin to doubt and you begin to waver and you begin to hit and miss and not set God as priority. Perhaps number three, perhaps you're having a hard time with the challenge that you're facing and needing to know the hard answers to your hard questions. Listen, we all have things that come up in our life and we don't have the answers. And the Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And we reach out, like we talked about in Sunday school today, and we reach out to those that would give us some tidbit of wisdom to help us to make a wise decision. But can I tell you, there's some times that even the multitude of counselors don't have an answer for your problem. And you're needing to know what to do. Such was the case when Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, suggested he choose out other men to help counsel and judge men's matters so that Moses did not become too wearied trying to carry the burden of the people all by himself. That, you know, the Bible says that they took care of the small matters amongst themselves, but the hard cases they brought to Moses. Such as we would take our hard decisions to preacher. In Exodus chapter 18, verse 26, that is recorded. Can I tell you, there's sometimes, you know, and I don't know, listen, when we first moved here, we had some hard questions, we needed some hard answers, and we didn't know what to do in a lot of cases just moving here. It was culture shock, amen. Dallas Metroplex, it's expensive to live here, and not like Georgia was, and definitely not like Tennessee where we grew up. Can I tell you, it's culture shock. And so we'd go into the preacher. And listen, I don't know how he did it. He didn't have a spoof dust bag or nothing like that. But it's amazing. We'd go in and we'd have hard questions. And God, the Holy Spirit, would work through our preacher and he'd put everything in perspective. And when I walked out of his office, though I still had the same challenges, though I still had the same opposition, though I still had the same problem, I could go out with confidence believing that God and my man of God was for me. And if I follow the counsel of the man of God, it would be all right. Such was the case when the Queen of Sheba, in 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse number 1, she had heard of the fame of King Solomon and all of his wisdom, and she approached King Solomon with some hard questions. And she got all the answers to her questions till there was no more spirit left in her. Can I tell you, there may be a lot of questions. You say, well, I don't want to bother the preacher. I don't want to bother the staff. Listen, that's what we're here for. We always pray, Lord, use me. You know? And so that's what full-time servants are for. It's not that you're a bother. We want to be a help. What bothers us when you don't want our help? That's what bothers us. But it doesn't bother us when you need us. Can I tell you, she had some hard questions, but she asked all of her questions till there was no spirit left in her. Can I tell you, you ought to make a beeline to those people that can help you and are expert in the field to help you with your particular problem. So when you have a hard time and you've got hard questions that need hard answers, you need to get proper counsel. We find one other such case was Daniel, who was faced with interpreting the king's dream in Daniel chapter number 5, and he believed there was a God in heaven who had the answer. Can I tell you, you can be like Daniel and believe, hey, there's a God in heaven. I may not have the answer. Listen, I may not know which way to go, and I may not know how it's all going to work out, but I know there's a God in heaven. The Bible says in the Psalms, he says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? I mean, the Creator God takes time. He thinks about you. And I believe it was John chapter 17, he prays for you. Amen. All through the gospel, he lived for you. So when you get all alone and you think, boy, I'm out here on a limb all by my lonesome. I'm reminded of Elijah. You know, he just watched the prophets of Baal get burned to a crisp. I mean, they was crispy critters. And then, but you know, he was able to face them and call fire down out of heaven. Amen. And burn them all up. But he ran because of one cantankerous woman. And the Bible says he went out there and sat under a juniper tree and wished himself to die. He wanted to commit Harry Carey. Whoever that is. That's one of them Tennessee terms. I don't know who he is, but he gets a lot of talk. But I mean, he just wanted to end it all. You know, I believe it was Elisha that went out to the brook of Cherith, you know, and he, listen. Or maybe it was Elisha. I mean, they sound the same to me, but anyway, he was out there, you know, and them ravens was feeding him, you know, and he was enjoying the brook of Cherith, and then the brook dried up. Now, what was they? They said, boy, it's just a hard time out here by the brook of Cherith. It dried up. What's God doing? God's teaching you to trust in him. Teaching you to trust in him. Then he sent the ravens there to feed him. And then the Bible says that, and I love this part, he sent the angels and he shook him and woke him up. He said, eat a while. And then he said, go back to sleep. Now that's my time of life, amen. When you're having a bad day, wake me up in time to eat and then send me back to bed until I get better, amen. Sometimes you'll have a gloom and doom situation like that, but can I tell you, the angels of the Lord are given to minister and help you in your time of need. You might find yourself, listen, I've got some hard questions. I'm having a hard time in some sort of relationship. I'm having a hard time believing the promises of God. Oh, I know what God says, but because of what I'm going through, my focus is on my problems, and I'm getting discouraged and depressed, and I don't know which end is up, and I can only hold on a little bit longer. May I ask you this question tonight? Is there anything too hard for God? He said, there's no hope for me. Is there anything too hard for God? Don't limit God. Don't limit God. find yourself wanting to throw in the towel and give up. Don't limit God. God can't do nothing in my situation. Oh, yes, He can. Yes. If you'd get out of the way.
Right.
Maybe you're having a hard time with dealing with your flesh and saying no to temptation, or you struggle to do right. Such was the case when Amnon thought it hard to do anything to his half-sister Tamar, whom he had fell sick for in 2 Samuel 13. He said, that's gross. Yeah, but we live in a gross world. And boy, that Wednesday night Bible study that preached, boy, that was right on the money, right on the money Wednesday night about social media and how it can drag you through the pits and miry. Listen, if you just come on Friday night and see some folks that are broken over that stuff, who are trying to get out of that stuff while you're trying to get in. Listen, there's a real devil out there, and the devil, listen, he don't want people to get saved, and if they get saved, he wants to destroy their life. So maybe you're having a hard time with dealing with your flesh. Such was the case with Amnon, who thought, but the Bible says he had a friend. And the friend said, gave him a plan, and he got the plan, he got what he wanted, but then he hated that he did it, and he hated the person he did it with. Can I tell you what you want, what your flesh wants? Can I tell you, it's never going to turn out the way you want it to. Such is the way for the transgressor, as recorded in Proverbs 13:5, where it says, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Say, Brother Craig, I don't know why I'm having such a hard time. Maybe you're doing a whole lot of transgressing what the Bible says.
Yeah.
It's amazing. We all want the blessings of God, but too few of us are willing to do what it takes to get it. Can I tell you, listen, the Bible says, well, I love God, but I ain't going to do what He tells me to. Listen, the Bible says that if you love God, you're going to keep my commandments. So our love for God may just be a tad bit shallow based on the amount of obedience in our life. Can I tell you, if you're having a hard time with dealing with your flesh, such was the case of the warning given in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13 of how sin will deceive you, where it says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Maybe you and I are having a hard time dealing with that flesh and saying no to that temptation. Maybe you need to have an accountability partner, somebody checking up on you, somebody asking you the hard questions, amen. Get down to the nitty-gritty and the root of the problem, and listen, amen. If you want victory, that's what it's going to take. May I say this? Perhaps you're having a hard time accepting some of the Bible preaching or teaching that you hear behind the pulpit. Or maybe you teenagers are having a hard time as your parents try to take what the preacher's teaching and try to teach it at home because maybe in a situation with new Christians or those that perhaps are from other churches that didn't teach exactly what the Bible says and they're having a hard time swallowing that Bible pill. Maybe because you've never heard it before, or maybe it's different than how you've been taught all your life. Or because it goes against your standard of living. That's really where it boils down to. It just goes against their standard of living. Such was the case with the wicked man who hardens his face and looks down his nose at Bible preaching and teaching, as recorded in Proverbs 21:29, where the Bible says, a wicked man hardeneth his face, but as for the upright, he directeth this way. So, well, I don't know why I'm having such a hard time figuring out what to do. Well, listen, if you fall in line with the Bible and start obeying it, guess what? He's going to direct your way. But if you're going to have a hard face, the Bible calls you wicked. Now, I didn't say that, but God did.
Yeah.
And can I tell you, there's been times in all of our lives where we've hardened our face. Raise that eyebrow and say, I just don't know about that, you know. Hey, such was the case with the person who's always getting himself into trouble and involved in things he shouldn't get involved in, as recorded in Proverbs 28:14. Happy is the man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. So, Brother Craig, I don't have a clue why I'm always falling into mischief, why I'm always in the principal's office, why I'm always in the disciplinary dean's office, why I'm always in my daddy's office. I just don't understand it while I'm getting in trouble all the time. Well, I imagine probably it's because you're hardening your heart.
Right.
See, the fact is, a lot of times we're having a hard time. It ain't nobody's fault but ours. Right. Most of our hardships we brought on ourselves.
Amen.
And we want to get in the blame game, amen?
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
I mean, you know, it was Adam's choice to eat the fruit, but he blamed it on Eve.
Yeah. Right.
Amen? And then Eve said, well, it was that serpent over there. He beguiled me. You know, just playing the blame game. They all got a whooping. Listen, you can blame all you want to, but guess what? If you're standing under the same umbrella, guess what? You're gonna get it too. Hey, such was the case with the person who is constantly being corrected and refuses to get right, as recorded in Proverbs 29:1, where it says, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Listen, you want to make it hard on yourself? Just keep doing what you're doing. Keep getting in trouble. Keep refusing to get right. And then eventually the Bible says, listen, you'll be your life will be destroyed, and that without remedy. There won't be no hope for you. Say, well, that's where I'm living. No, listen, if you're still living and breathing, amen, and you're still coming to a Bible preaching church, there's still hope for you. Also in Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 3, it says, "O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return." Let that not be our testimony tonight, that we refuse to get right, we refuse to return. Amen. Such is the case with those who don't heed Bible truth and become worse than what their parents were, as recorded in Jeremiah chapter 7, verse number 26, where it says this, "Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers." Amen. Did worse than their fathers. And so, listen, they were having a hard time with this matter of accepting this Bible preaching and teaching. They were having a hard time accepting what the parents were trying to teach them. And can I tell you, can I help us, parents? Listen, if a leader will always have to set the standard high, the followers will land right here. But what we as leaders oftentimes want to do, we want to get lazy. And we want to reduce it like this. But we still want our kids right here. The only problem with that is when you do that, the kids also do that. Amen. So when we lower the standard and the preacher preaches something and then we don't go home and practice it, they're going to end up worse than what you did when you were their age. Oh my, that's a sobering thought. Can I tell you, if you don't want them worse off than what you were when you were their age, can I tell you, then we better raise that standard high. Oh, but it's uncomfortable for me. Guess what? For the sake of your children, make yourself uncomfortable. Amen. Such is with the case with those who don't. Such is the case with those who hit and miss church, so they don't have to listen to the truth that convicts them to their core, as recorded in Jeremiah 19:15. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon this city and upon all her towns all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have hardened their necks." Watch this, "that they might not hear my words." See, eventually, if you come to a Bible preaching church, and you don't, listen, you're going to do one or two things. You're either going to get right or get out. Yep. Amen. If you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. You say, well, listen, I'm willing to show up and eat, but I don't want none of that cooking stuff. Amen. Let me get out of the kitchen. Listen, but if you'll stay in that incubator, guess what? One day you'll fly on your own and you'll fly straight. Amen. Hey, it may be a little bit uncomfortable because you ain't quite heard it like that. And it may be a little bit inconvenient because guess what? I'm going to have to come out of my comfort zone and go be somewhere when I really want to be somewhere else. And I'm going to have to come to church. And listen, but what I'm saying is stay under red hot, independent, fundamental Baptist Bible preaching. So I think I'll go to a non-denominational church where it's carried down and watered down and where I can feel comfortable, yeah. And they'll have a rock concert and have a bar stool out there and they'll sing Kumbaya. Can I tell you, they might preach salvation there, but you'll never grow there. You'll never grow there. You can't grow underneath that stuff. It ain't going to make you more like, yeah, but they talk about Jesus. Yeah, but you can't hear what they're saying because the music is too loud. Can I tell you that We may be having a hard time, and so we decide, hey, I'm going to harden my neck to the point where I'm going to get out from a Bible preaching church. No, get in a Bible preaching church. Such was the case when Jesus was trying to teach his disciples to beware of the leaven or doctrine of the Pharisees, and they thought he was talking about physical bread in Mark chapter 8, verse number 17. They didn't have the foggiest idea what he was talking about, but that's all right. That may be you say, I'm having a hard time understanding what's being talked about. Listen, the Bible says, listen, you show up and you listen and you obey, and then the understanding will come later. You may not understand it all, but guess what? You just plug in and you listen, you get as involved. Listen, you need more preaching and not less preaching. You need more Bible, not less Bible, more prayer, not less prayer, more soul winning, not less soul winning, and say, well, I don't know about that soul winning thing. Well, try it out. You'll like it. I never will forget when I was a youth director over in Tyler, and I had this one young man in my youth department named Jeremy. And on Thursday night, we'd load up the teenagers, and I said, Jeremy, guess where we're going soul winning? He said, where? I said, down your street. He said, oh, no. Not down my street. I said, yeah. Down. I said, what's wrong, Jeremy? What's wrong? You don't have a good testimony at school? He said, no, sir. So at least he was honest. But he didn't want to go down his street. Why? Because he wasn't living it at school. Can I tell you this? You may not understand everything about it, but can I tell you the Bible is right every time. And when it goes against our living is wrong every time. Hey, such was the case with those who have been in a church a long time and you've gotten used to hearing it to where you don't pay that much attention to it. It doesn't bother you to get up and leave in the middle of the service or leave during the invitation because you're used to it. And after all, I've already heard it that way. And you let it pass by without allowing it to affect and influence you. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 11 says this, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Has your hearing got dull? I mean, you've been in Parkside Baptist Church, you know, since it started or whatever. And well, I've already heard it. Yeah, you probably have. There's nothing new under the sun. Amen. It's the same 5 points, just a different title. Amen. Amen. But since you didn't listen to the last 10 sermons, maybe you'll listen to this one and God could. Listen, is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything to say? Well, I just don't understand. And this Bible preaching is rubbing me the wrong way. And I just don't know how much I can. Listen, stay put. And let God work on you and carve away at your impurities and make you a vessel fit for His use. Listen, you may say, well, is there anything? Can God help me to understand? Because I ain't never heard it. Yes, God can help you to understand if you'll just stay put. Such as described of those in the last days, how many will be swept away by a less accountable, watered-down message who require little and preach even less, as recorded in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. It says, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. The Bible says that the unlearned and unstable, they rest. Listen, instead of questioning and doubting what the Scripture says, amen, just take it at face value. You know, I heard a preacher saying, we've heard preachers say, listen, yes, you ought to read the Bible, but let the Bible read you. Amen. And I believe that. Last thing is this, perhaps you're having a hard time in accepting or pursuing the will of God in your life. I mean, he's touched your heart in a few areas, but you're not sure about it or you're wrestling with it or maybe you know exactly what God has for you, but you're just refusing to do it. Such was the case as Jonah ran from God, and not only did he make it hard on himself, but he also made it hard on those in the boat with him in Jonah chapter 1, verse number 13. He said, could God take a preacher like that? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And he was having a hard time accepting the will of God. Can God turn it around? Yeah, he puked him up on dry ground, and he made that journey in half the time, amen, and the whole city got saved. So you may be having a hard time accepting the will of God, but can I tell you, God wants to use you, and God can change a whole nation if you'll yield to Him. Hey, such was the case with the unprofitable servant in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 24, who did not invest and use that which God had given him. Some of you got time. Well, we got time. You got talents. You got treasures. But he only had one. And he said, I knew you as a hard and austere man, and you reap where you sow not. And I just went and dug a hole and stuck that. Here's what you. He said, listen, he said, that unprofitable servant, take away from him and give to the one that had 10 talents. Listen, God wants you to invest your life in the eternal. Hey, such was the case with Saul, who was on the road to Damascus with letters in hand to persecute and kill Christians, when a bright light shone from heaven. He had a meeting with Jesus, which changed his life forever. In Acts chapter 9, verse number 5, and he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He was having a rough time there. In fact, he got blinded, and then they sent Ananias over there, and then he said, listen, you're going to preach to the Gentiles. And he was an apostle born out of due time. Listen, a lot of other people had a hard time too. I mean, here he was killing Christians. They thought he was showed up for a Halloween contest, put a mask on. They said, "Oh no, we don't want him preaching in our church. It's probably a trick. He's probably going to take care of us after the service." But he had Barnabas, right, that stood up on his behalf and said, "No, he's the real deal." Thank God you got people in your life that can vouch for you being the real deal. You may be having a hard time, but can I tell you, the Bible says the Apostle Paul, he was the chief of sinners. He said, "The things I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do are the very things I find myself doing." Yet the Bible says that God he turned the world upside down with his doctrine. Could God use you to do that? Such is the admonition to those who would serve Christ in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 3, where it says this, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." You say, "Brother Craig, if I surrender to God's will, it's going to be hard." Yeah, it might be hard, but listen, you'll be the happiest person alive. The most miserable person alive is those who know what God wants them to do, and they ain't doing it. Take your Bibles and turn to Jeremiah chapter 32. Let me share something with you, and we're going to dismiss or shut the service down. Jeremiah chapter 32. Let me give you just a few things on, hey, how do I handle these hard things that I'm dealing with? I find myself asking the question, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And sometimes I'm not sure I believe it. How did Jeremiah get to the place where he said, listen, there's nothing too hard for the Lord? Look at verse 16. "Now when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord." Guess what? He prayed about it. You're having a hard time in relationships? Pray about it. You're having a hard time believing the promises of God and begin to find yourself doubting? Pray about it. You find yourself having a hard time and facing challenges, and you got some hard questions in your life that need only God can give you an answer? Pray about it. Having a hard time dealing with your flesh and saying no to temptation and you're struggling to do right? Pray about it. Having a hard time swallowing the Bible pill as preaching and teaching is straightforward and you never heard it that way? Pray about it. You're having a hard time in accepting or pursuing the will of God? Pray about it. The Bible says Jeremiah prayed about it. Look at verse 17. He said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." So he prayed about it, and then second of all, he believed it. Listen, the Bible says if you go to your prayer closet and you start praying and you don't believe it's going to happen, then listen, your prayers aren't hitting past the ceiling. He said, listen, if you're going to pray about it, then believe that I can change that situation. Believe that I can see you through that hard time. Look down at verse number 26. The Bible says, "Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying," so he heard about it. Verse number 27 says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" So not only did he pray about it, not only did he believe that God could do the impossible, but he heard about it. And God himself, he had a meeting with the Word of God. He heard about it through the Holy Spirit as he read God's Word. He heard about it in the preaching, amen. He heard about it. So how are you going to get to the place where you say, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And you can come back and say, no, there's nothing hard for the Lord. Guess what? You're going to have to stay in a Bible preaching church. You're going to have to stay walking with God so that you can hear about it. Look at verse 36. It says, "And now therefore thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning this city, whereof you say it shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon, by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries whither I have driven them in mine anger and in my fury and in great wrath. And I will bring them again unto this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. And they shall be my people, and I'll be their God. I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children." I mean, here's some people that were stiff-necked, having a hard time doing what God said, and he sent the Chaldeans after them, but now he's gathering them back in, and Jeremiah's getting a sneak peek of what God's doing. They were a hard case. God says, "I'd just rather wipe you out and start over." Listen, but Jeremiah saw it. Can you not look in other people's life and you would question, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And you saw God do the impossible in their life? Can you not look back in your experiences and say, listen, I thought that was impossible, but look what God did. Listen, if you're going to have a hard time and struggling with things and wonder, hey, can I make it through that? Guess what? You're going to have to see it. See it in other people's lives starting out, but beg for God and expect for God to do that impossible in your life. Verse 40, And I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to, watch this, to do them good. But I will put my fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from me. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good. And I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. For thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. And then the very last phrase, for I will cause their captivity to return, saith the Lord. It looked like a hard case. Maybe it looks like a hard case in your life, in whatever area that we talked about. But can I tell you, ask yourself this question. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Read the latter part of Jeremiah 32 in depth. Listen, it looked like it was a foregone conclusion that the Judah was just gone. But when God stepped in, he changed their hearts. He brought them back in. God is a God of restoration. And God can take an impossible situation. He can turn it around. And can I tell you tonight, I don't know what it is you're going through. I don't have to. There's no problem too big for God. No sin that God can't forgive. You hadn't gone too far from God that God can't reach down and use you and restore you. So whatever you're going through, can I tell you, it's about time that we get down and listen, we start praying about it. Make sure we stay in a good Bible preaching church and walking with God so we can hear about it. Amen. And then guess what? Then guess what we'll start doing? We'll start seeing it. But only if you stick around. A lot of times people quit just before the victory. I mean, that's how the disciples did it, you know. I mean, he died and they just went back to their secular jobs and all they had to do was wait 3 days. Just 3 days. That's not a long time, just 3 days. But they're like most of us. They have a hard time and they just throw the towel in just before the greatest victory that has ever happened in recorded history. Guess what? There could be a great victory in your life if you'll just stick around to see it. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.